So it has been a while, and I am super glad to be able to come hang out with you guys tonight. Hopefully this thing will stay on pretty good. And to be able to share this last message in the launch series with our new middle school ministry. What do you guys think? Isn't that awesome? Woo! Yes. Super excited about where we are, that you guys get your own thing now, which is pretty awesome. So I get to share this last message, and I was thinking about this launch series and what it's all about. I remembered when I was a kid, and I used to always be concerned, very much concerned about how tall I was getting. Anybody else have that? Yeah, right? Always. Always. And whenever you want to find out how tall you're getting, if you've gotten any taller, what do? Well, you measure it where? Good, Hannah. Yeah, like you line up beside the door frame. Anybody ever done this? You guys ever done this? Yeah, at your grandpa's? I used to do it at my grandmother's. And there were all kinds of marks from when I was a little kid. Well, maybe not that little, but, you know, a little kid. And as I was growing up, we would always stand against the door frame, and you put a ruler on your head, right, or something flat. And then she put a mark on the wall. Right, and then you put your initials beside it because there's like 14 grandkids and you can't keep up with whose mark's whose. But anyway, and then what do you do once you put the mark on there?
You put how tall you are in the
date. Yeah, you put the date and then you look and compare it, right? And then you say, I grew like a half inch, you know, or I grew 2 inches or I grew 3 inches or whatever. And we're super excited about that. Why can't you tell without doing that if you've grown? But why can't you see it normally? Because it's what? Hang on. All right, Michelle, raise your hand. What'd you say, Michelle?
I said because it's so gradual, like you can't tell like where your eyesight.
Yeah, it's so gradual that you can't tell when you're living your life and just doing your everyday thing if you've grown or not. Because you're not growing that fast. I think one of you guys said that it doesn't happen fast enough, that over a time frame short enough that you can tell that you've grown any. So every so often you have to stop and go to grandma's house, right, or grandpa's house or wherever, or your house, and put your head up against, and you stand real tall, and you put your head up against that wall, and you mark, and then you check and measure how you're doing. How far have I, how much have I grown? What progress I've made, right? Well, that's sort of what our launch is. Our launch series that we're doing is a chance for us to stop and look and say, you know, what are we all about? How are we doing? How much have we grown? Where are we in our lives? And are we doing all the right things? Because if you haven't grown, and everybody says, well, if you eat more vegetables, then you might decide, well, if I need to eat more vegetables in order to grow more, then I'll eat more vegetables, right? You know, I'll do whatever it takes. Listen, girls, I'll do whatever it takes in order to grow more the next time I check and assess. But as we're going through our daily lives and things are busy and things are just going on and we're going to school and you're going to and you're practicing or you're, if you're on the baseball team, you're playing baseball. If you're on the basketball team, you're playing basketball. If you're a cheerleader, you're cheering. Whatever it is, you're not thinking in every moment, have I grown today? But occasionally I have to stop and say, have I grown? And what am I doing to help myself grow? Our launch series is kind of like that. We are thinking and taking a moment as we started up our new middle school ministry, and we started Lift, and we started Ascend. And for the high school students and all these new things, we said, you know what, now's the time for us to get our students to pause for a second and think, why do we do all the things that we do? And as we do all those things that we do, are we growing? Are they producing an effect in our lives that's a good thing, that's helping us to get better at who we are and what we're doing and all those kinds of things? Are these things helping? Well, that's what our launch series is all about. So we've been talking about three things. Three things. What are the three things? Yes. Thank you for reading the screen so effectively for us, Hannah. You're awesome. Equip, engage, and expand. Yeah, to equip, engage, and expand. We're doing this out of Acts chapter 2. So go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2 in your Bibles, because we're going to look there again tonight for a minute. But you remember, equip, engage, and expand. What does it mean to equip? What did that have to do with as we studied it, Michelle?
It prepares you for what you'll
need. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are we prepared? Somebody else. How are we? We set our minds on something. When do we do that? What? Every week? Whenever we think? When there's something. How do we equip? How are we equipped in terms of MSM, the middle school ministry at Cornerstone? When are we equipped? What event happens which is an opportunity for us to be equipped? What did you say, Nate? Very good, Ailey. We have pastors. What did you say, Nate? Listen, guys, listen. When you know something's coming, yeah, you're equipped because you anticipate something's coming. That's good. But what I mean when we say equip in terms of the launch series, what we're doing here is there's a certain time of the week that what we do at MSM is designed to equip you guys to go out and be the people that God would have you to be in this world. And when does that happen? Right here, right now. That's what Lift is. It's the opportunity for you to be equipped by your pastors, thank you, Haley, to be able to go out and do the things God would have you to do. So in here we study
the Bible
to help us to learn and understand and to be equipped for the things God would have us to do. Now, we also do that a different time of the week. What day do we do it? Sunday. Yeah, you come to church on Sunday morning, and what does Pastor Bill do?
Read the Bible.
Yeah, he teaches from the Bible for the purpose of equipping us as the saints, because if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a saint, equipping us to be able to do the work God's called us to do, to be the people that God would have us to be. All right, so that's equipping. What's engaging in the context of what we're studying here? You answered last time. We'll get somebody else. Anybody else? I'll come back to you, Michelle. If nobody raises a hand, Michelle's going to answer. So y'all better. Raleigh, any idea about engage? No? Anybody? Maddox. What? To use the knowledge where? Here. Remember the second part of Acts chapter 2, the first part. Let me read this and then we'll see it. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 down through 47. He says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's being equipped, right? And the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and prayers. And then he goes on and describes what that looks like. The fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers is a part of engaging. Where do we fellowship together? We do it a little bit here, don't we? On Wednesday night. But then where? In the loading dock. Good, Maddie. In the loading dock. And when you're in the loading dock, you're in journey group. And that's where we engage together. We do life together. Because when you come to journey group, you get to say, you know what? I had a really bad day at school today. You know, somebody was mean to me. Or somebody was rude to me. Or I studied hard for that math test, but I got a 42. Dang. Or whatever it is, right? And you come, and what do your friends say?
Wow, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. They encourage you. Listen, all right, listen. Listen, guys, listen, ladies. They encourage you, they affirm you, they support you. That's what it means to engage. And what you do is you come to journey group. Now, the key is when you come and you've got a struggle, somebody else is there to encourage you. Well, there'll be a different night when you come and you're doing fine, but they're having a struggle. And what do you do?
Help and encourage
them. That's engaging in this life. And the early church did that. It says that all came upon every soul, and there were many wonders, verse 43, and signs that were being done by the apostles, and all who believed were together. And they had all things in common, which means they were sharing. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as anyone had a need. So somebody would come in their fellowship and they had a need and they were struggling to make ends meet. They were struggling to have enough food or whatever it is, and somebody else would sell something and give them the money they needed. They would share together, kind of like in your journey group. We share together. We love each other. We affirm and encourage each other. We do all those kinds of things. So they were selling their possessions, and they were giving to one another as any had need. And day by day, they were attending the temple together. That is, they were going to worship. And they were breaking bread in their homes, which means they were eating meals together. We do that a little bit at Journey Group and a little bit at Lyft, right? We eat pizza together. And we do that in Journey Group because we have snacks together. We don't have snacks. We're going to have snacks. Yeah, I think we are. Yeah. We had a big storm that didn't happen. And so we missed Wednesday night, Sunday night. But there were snacks Sunday night. So normally we have snacks. We'll have snacks. So and the point of the breaking the bread together is when you eat a meal with somebody, what do while you're eating?
Talk.
You talk and you spend time together. That is engaging. Guys, that is the community that we are in Christ. Now, you can do that with lots of different people, but there's something unique about doing that here because there's something unique about all of us. We are all a part of this fellowship uniquely in that we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So this community is different. Did you hear that? I want you to hear that. This community, no, listen. Come on, Michelle. This community is different. And it should be different. It should be different from school. It should be different from your sports team. Because these people sitting here are believers, most of you. Now, some of you may not have made that decision yet. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have been transformed. And you have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we all here have something in common. And you know what it is? It's really a who? God. We have God in common. And he is at work in each one of us. And the fellowship and the unity and the community we have here is better than anywhere else it should be. Now, that may not always be true because sometimes things go badly. But it should be true here more than any other place. So this community is special. It's different. And that's what we're teaching on engage. I don't know what happened to it, Blake, but we're engaging. That's our community. Now, so tonight we transition to the third part of our launch, and that's to expand. What does it mean to expand?
To get bigger.
Yes, to get bigger. Now, this is kind of what you don't want to do from eating Krispy Kreme donuts. You know, yeah, that's not what we're talking about here, okay? What we're talking about is expanding our fellowship, all right? Expanding our community, our people, our group. Now, why do we want to do that? And I'll show you why. I want you to look at the end of this section. Look what he says as you come to the end of verse 47. And they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So God was expanding their community. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight and think about. What does it mean for God to do that, and how does he do that in us and through us as the middle school ministry at Cornerstone? So let's pray, and then we'll study a little bit more. Father, thank you for our time in your word and the opportunity to study and to think about what it means to be a part of this amazing thing you call the church. Lord, we get to enjoy this. And I so desperately want our students to experience the awesomeness that comes from being a part of this group of people. And so, Lord, bless our time tonight as we study. Help them to see more clearly what it means to be a part of the middle school ministry at Cornerstone and what it means to, going forward, to expand this place because you want more and more people to experience what they get to enjoy. So, Lord, help us understand that now. Lead us and teach us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so all the while these people were hanging out together and spending time together and eating together and doing all these things together, God was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, I want to start by looking at that verse. Who was doing the adding? God. Isn't that interesting? Because we usually think about adding somebody to church. Who does it? We tell them to come. Yeah, you know, we bring them in, we invite them, whatever it is. But the key to this verse is God is adding to their number those who are being saved. What you got to understand about the church is it's not just a social club. God is adding to his number, to the number of people here. And what that means is no one is here. No one comes into this fellowship. Nobody comes into this body of believers on their own. Nobody comes by accident. That you are here. Now listen to this, because this is an important thing to know. I want you guys to hear this as a middle schooler. You are here in this group because you were chosen by God to be here. Did y'all catch that? Isn't it a pretty awesome thing to be chosen? It's pretty great. We've all been that last person who wasn't picked. Well, at least I have. Playing volleyball or dodgeball or whatever it is, and no. All right, Keith. We'll take you. You know, that kind of thing. What I'm saying to you is you are here because God chose you. And that makes you special. And that makes you valuable. Nobody comes into this fellowship. Nobody comes to faith in Jesus Christ apart from God choosing them. And that's powerful, guys. So when the whole world rejects you, remind yourself you're chosen by God. When you're not good enough at school, when you don't do well on that math test, or when there's some kids at school that don't like you and don't include you in their group, you're chosen by God. And nothing will ever change that. And you're brought in to be a part of this family. Now, when does that happen? Look what it says. It says the Lord was adding daily those who were being saved. What does that mean? To believe in God, to let him in your heart. What else does that mean? Anybody? How do you believe in God and let him in your heart? Anybody else? Yes, to accept, to believe that he died and rose again, that he died on the cross, and that he rose again to conquer that death, and that all we have to do is put our faith and trust in him, and we too can be rescued. Now, what do we need to be rescued from? Why do these people need to be saved? From what? What's sin? Anything that dishonors God. Anything that falls short of God's glory. God is amazing. He's perfect. So anything that's less than perfect is? Ah, that's big. So how many people are less than perfect?
Everybody.
And we all enter this world sinners. We all enter this world apart from God and not able to be with him. But God intervened. And God was seeking out, he was adding, he was choosing people, and he has been throughout history, choosing people to be saved. Choosing people to be saved. Isn't that awesome? And rescuing us. So even though we're sinners, God makes us a part, this engaged piece of this family right here, by saving us. And he does that through his son. He sent his only son to die on the cross, in order that he might pay the penalty for our sin so that we didn't have to pay it. And when he did that, he said, all you have to do is believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him, and you'll be saved. You'll be rescued. And you will be made a part of this family that I have called the church. You'll be a part of this group. So that's what God was doing. He was actively saving people. And bringing them into the fellowship of believers and making them a part of this amazing thing, this group of believers that are all hanging out together and spending time together and a part of this body, this group of people that love each other well. Now, there are a couple of ways that the Lord does that. And I want us to think, as we think about how do we expand, how does God want to expand our community in the world, I want us to think about the two ways that God does that, okay? The first way is by attracting other people. God adds people to our church, which is that's what this was in Acts chapter 2, by attracting others. Now, how does he attract other people? How do you attract anything? Is anybody here like to fish? How do you attract a fish?
You gotta have bait.
Yeah, you got bait, right, Ella? You got to have bait, Hannah. That's good. Ella said it too. Both of y'all said, you got to have bait. You got to have bait. And when the fish sees the bait,
they swim.
Good. They swim for the bait. Why? Because they've been attracted. Now, if you put something in there on the hook that's going to turn the fish off, what's going to happen?
Swim
the other way. Yeah, they're getting away from this thing, right? They're being pushed away. So what? But God has found a way to attract the world to his church. How does he do that?
We're the bait.
We're the bait. Good job. We're the bait. I want y'all to turn, now take your Bible, stay where you're at, and just turn about 10 pages toward the front, over to John, the book of John, chapter 13. John chapter 13, and I might speed up, or Pastor Scott's going to run me out of here. Okay, so John chapter 13, take a look at verse 34. Jesus, anybody want to read it? 34 and 35, read it. Yes. Okay, now, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Why was it new? Hasn't God always wanted people to love one another? Why is it a new commandment? Somebody else. Michelle's answered several. Anybody? Nate. Why is it a new commandment? You didn't raise your hand? Why is it a new commandment? Hunter hadn't answered anything. Why was it a new commandment? Any ideas, Michelle? No, this is when he was about to die. And he said, a new commandment I give to you. Now, it's new for this reason. It's new because for the first time, he was going to create a new community that is like nothing that ever existed in the history of the world. And what was that community called?
Christians.
The church. That's good. It's like heaven in a whole lot of ways. It's very much like heaven.
Except
it's on earth. He was going to create a new community on this earth, and he wanted this new community to be different. He said, a new commandment I'm giving you, and I'm asking you, and that commandment is that you love one another. Well, how does that happen? Well, we become a community when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. At that moment, we receive the Holy Spirit of God. And when we receive the Holy Spirit of God, he is at work in us to help us love one another. So there's a new commandment because this is a new way to make this happen that's never existed in the history of the earth. He said, you know, I'm going to build my church, and you are the start of my church. And that happens all the way to this day. When a person puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're given the Holy Spirit of God who helps us to love each other well. He said, I want you to love one another. Just as I want you to love each other just as I have loved you. Now, how did Jesus love people?
He died for a lot.
What does that mean? What does that say about how we have to love each other? A lot. That's very good. Even so much that he died for them. If you die for somebody, does that mean you love them?
No.
What? You're dead. If you give your life to rescue someone else, what does that mean about your love? You love him a lot.
Question.
What do you think? If you push somebody out of a moving, in front of a moving car to rescue them, does that demonstrate love? All right, let's reel it back in. It demonstrates love. Jesus gave his life for us to rescue us. The Son of God gave his life for us to rescue us, even for the people. In fact, how many people were sinners against him when he gave his life? So who did he give his life for? Everyone who, yeah, had rebelled against him. A sinner is someone who has refused to obey God. And we rebel against God as sinners. These were people, all mankind, who had rebelled against God. And Jesus gave his life to rescue them. And he didn't only give his life to rescue them. He gave his life to rescue us. Every single one of us. No matter how much we've loved, even though we haven't loved him well, even though we've been in rebellion, even though we lie, even though we talk about our parents, even though we mistreat our siblings and are angry with them and don't treat them well, he gave his life for us. That's love. All right, let's stay focused, and we'll come back to Miss Archer's question later. Thank you, Jessica. All right. Let's stay focused. All right, here's the thing. Listen, guys. All right, Jesus' love was selfless. It was sacrificial. Listen, guys, we don't oftentimes live a selfless love, do we? We love in such a way as taking care of ourselves instead of taking care of the other person. We don't oftentimes put somebody else's needs before our own. We put ourselves first. And Jesus said, I want you to love like I loved. Even so much so that you sacrifice yourself for them, for one another. Which means I'm coming up and there's the last piece of pizza. And I don't eat it. And I'll only eat half of it. And Nate's standing there with me, and he's salivating, and I'm salivating over the pizza. And I say, Nate, you have it. Oh. All right, here's the thing. And that's what he should say. You know what Nate should say? No, you have it. And then, yes! And what a beautiful picture of how we love each other. All right. Okay, listen. I want to give you a verse. I want y'all to listen to this verse, and I want you to write it down because I want you to study this and read it later and memorize it if you can. Philippians, P-H-I-L-I-P-P-I-A-N-S. Just write P-H-I-L. Philippians. In fact, I got it right. No, I don't have it up here. Oh, I did have this up here. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 through 4. And it says this. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, which is arrogance or selfishness. But in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Did you catch that? In humility, count others as more significant than yourself. And let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. The passage, Philippians 2, 3, verses 3 through 4. Okay? And it goes like this. Do nothing from selfish ambition or arrogance or conceit, but in humility consider others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. If we put other people first most of the time, a whole lot of the problems that we have would change. And we would get along so well. Guys, let me explain something. God has placed you here and created this group of people so that you could be attractive to the world. So that when the whole world looks around, when your friends at school, and when your enemies at school, and whoever else is at school or in your sports team or wherever else, and they look around to find a group of people that are different from all the other mean and selfish and hard-hearted and arrogant and hateful people around them, they find you because you're different. But if we look the same as the world, if we're grumbling and complaining and arguing with each other and fighting with each other and spreading gossip about each other and hurting each other and all those things, we're not any different from the world. And we're not attractive. They don't need that. They already have that. So my question, when we think about this point, is how attractive are you to the world? When they look at you, do they see a person that's amazing? Do they see a person that loves the way Jesus loved? Do they see a person that's, man, I just want to be around that person. They're just happy. They're joyful. They're kind. They're gentle. They love their friends. They make their friends more important than they are. Or are you just like all the other people you see at school and on social media? Are you talking bad about people? Are you gossiping about people? Are you tearing them down? Are you complaining and you grumbling? Because if you are, you're doing all the same things the world does, and there's nothing attractive here. Jesus said, this is how they'll know that you're my disciples, which means that you're my followers, is because you have love for each other. They'll recognize you. Man, there's something different about Nathan Shoemate. Wow, have you met that guy? Oh. Why? Because he's loving other people well. And they're like, Nathan, why aren't you like all these other jerks?
Wow.
And then he says, because I know Jesus. Because God has transformed my heart. God has changed me. And I'm a part of a group of people you just never, I mean, it's just awesome. And you got to come, you got to come, you got to see this. Because there's something different about Nathan. Why? Because he's given his life to Christ. And he has been changed. Guys, if you look around at your friend, at the people in this world that don't know Christ, and you look just like them, there's something wrong in your life. There's something wrong. We ought to be different. Our journey groups ought to be different. All right, I got to keep moving. All right, now, the first way that God adds people to his church is by using us to attract others. The second way is by using us to invite others. What does that mean, to invite? It doesn't just mean to invite people to church. If we look at the end of this section in Acts chapter 2, so go back there, it says, the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. What happened in the rest of the book of Acts? Well, beginning in Acts chapter 1, there's a verse that Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I want you to be my witnesses in Judea and in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, if you follow the book of Acts, this little group of people started in Jerusalem, because who were the people who were being saved? Jerusalem's. Very good, Haley. I love it. The people who lived in Jerusalem. Why? Because they could see what was going on, couldn't they? There were like thousands of people now that are doing this thing. They're sharing with each other. They're loving each other. They're giving each other. They're eating bread and breaking bread together. They're having their meals together. God was doing amazing signs. People were being healed. It was just awesome. And the people in Jerusalem were going, wow, what is going on here? And when they asked what's going on here, what did the people say to them? Come and do what?
Worship
God. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ too. They would invite them. So when your friends see that you're different and they say, why are you different? You say, because this amazing people group of people that I belong to, and all of us together, God has changed our hearts. And he's taught us to love each other. He's taught us to treat each other kindly. And let me tell you, you need this, because there's nothing better in this world. I want your journey group to be the greatest place that you go every week. I want it to be the safe place where you go. Because this, I trust this group of people. They're amazing. They're on my team. And then when you have something amazing, what do you want to do? Let me ask you this. Who's been to Disney World?
Me? No.
No? Now, who said it's so fun?
Me.
Thank you, Maddie. All right, so Maddie, we can get you to answer this next question, all right? When you come home from Disney World, what do you do? Think about Disney World. You cry. Why do you cry? Because you want to go back to Disney World, right? And then when you talk to your friends after you get back and you text them or you call them or whatever, what do you say? Yeah, Disney World is just a drag. What do you say? Huh? Huh?
It was
awesome. Why? Hannah said, "It's because that's where dreams come true. Because a magical place. Oh my goodness! Wow, you got it. I mean, it was just this, and I did that, and I had this. What? And why do you call your friends and tell them? Because you had an amazing experience. What did I say? Disneyland. All right, listen. Same thing. All right, listen." All right, guys, listen. Disney, you're excited to share with people because you have found something that's amazing. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a man who finds a treasure in a field. And when he finds that treasure, he goes and sells everything he has so he can buy that field and have that treasure. I want this place to be so amazing that you can't help but tell people. And you just can't help but say, guys, you just don't know. This is amazing. I've never found a place where I was safe. I've never found a place where people didn't talk about me. I've never found a place where there weren't bullies until now. And the reason you want to tell people is because of the joy that you have from being in this place. So God adds people to the church when we tell other people about the things that God has done in our lives. Let me tell you something. I met someone amazing, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he forgave all my sins. And he promised me eternal life. And he promised me I'd spend forever with him and he would give me an inheritance and he would wipe away every tear in my life and it would be amazing. And when we tell people that, they say, wow, how can I know that? And God adds to our number daily those who are being saved. Now, I want you guys to think about what it is to find something as we close. So I hid somewhere in one of these chairs. Don't move. Wait. In one of these chairs, don't look, in a pocket, the seat pocket. If it's a Parmesan cheese thing, I already found it. It is a $15 gift card to Taco Bell.
Whoa,
find it. You got to find it. That's not it.
I got it.
Haley found it. All right, come sit down. Sorry, guys. How'd you find it? I thought it was farther back. All right, sit down. Sorry. Yeah, you get to have that. All right, listen, guys. All right. Now, let me ask you a question, Haley and everybody. Do you think when Haley gets home, she'll tell her parents that she got a $15 gift card to Taco Bell? Why? Why? Because what?
Because
it's exciting. Guys, all right, listen to this. You may not know it yet, but you have found the most exciting thing in this world. And it, not a Taco Bell gift card. Listen, guys. And it's Jesus Christ. And as you are equipped and you grow more in your relationship with God, you will learn more and more from this book just how amazing He is. And when you realize just who He is, it's way more exciting than a Taco Bell gift card.
That's true.
And you cannot wait to tell people. And God uses you. And you go out to people and you say to them, you know, I was chosen by God. And I've been reconciled to God and I have a relationship with Him. And it is amazing. And you know what? You can too. And I can tell you how. Because it's not just about inviting people to Cornerstone. It's about it. Listen, guys. It's about inviting people to Christ. And they may learn it here, or they may learn it from you. Hunter, when you look at them and say, you know what? You can put your trust in Jesus Christ too. That's the way that works. God wants to add people here to His kingdom. He wants them to have eternal life because of you. So this week, and we're going to close, I want you to think this week, am I bringing people in? Am I drawing them in? I want you to think this week, am I attracting people to Cornerstone and to Jesus Christ? Or am I pushing people away? I cannot tell you how many times I've talked to people that said, I don't go to Cornerstone because there's a girl that goes there that is mean and has been mean to me. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
Seriously?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. And it's not always the same girl. I've been told, I don't go to Cornerstone because there's a guy there that I know, and I can't believe he goes to church. Because of the way he acts on the basketball court or on the baseball field or whatever. We can push people away from Jesus because He's chosen to do this through us. So ask yourself, am I drawing people to Him or am I pushing them away? In the way I act and the attitudes I have. Because this is an amazing thing. And they need amazing things in this world. There's a lot of bad stuff. So let's be amazing for God's glory in this world. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And thank You for the time to study Your word and to think and reflect on just how You want to use us and who You've made us, how You've chosen us, and You made us into the people that You'd have us to be. And Lord, I pray for this group of middle schoolers, Lord. I pray for these guys. I pray for these girls. And I ask, Father, make them amazing. Give them the kind of experience here that goes way beyond anything they could have at Disney World or anywhere else. And may they go out in this world and say, you know what, I've found a treasure. And you can find it too. And may it be, Lord, that you would invite people here through them. And lots of middle schoolers, lots of high schoolers would be transformed. We'd enter into your family, become a part of your kingdom, become a part of this community because they're so super excited about what you're doing in their lives. May this be a safe place. May they be quick to forgive each other and to be gentle with each other and kind with each other and love each other selflessly the way Jesus did, so that the whole world says, you know, there's something different about those kids at Cornerstone. Wow. May that be useful to accomplish your purpose in this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Scott.